This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You listen to The Morning Run with Shazana Mokhtar, Wong Shaoling and myself, Khoo Soo Chong. Let's talk about Parliament reconvening.
The government announced yesterday that Parliament would reconvene on 26 July in a special parliamentary sitting to discuss the National Recovery Plan. The Day One Rakyat will sit for just 5 days, followed by a three-day Day One Negara sitting. The sitting will also amend the laws necessary for a hybrid parliament, as well as discuss the proclamation of emergency and all the emergency ordinances. But discuss is still a bit uncertain, because according to the statement, they will lay these ordinances before Parliament, but whether that involves a debate or not, it's still up in the air.
And this comes amid rumblings within UMNO that it will withdraw support from the Perikatan National Government following the expiry of a 14-day ultimatum for Parliament to reconvene. Now, will this parliamentary sitting stave off an UMNO mutiny? And how much genuine debate can we truly expect?
Well, to help us make sense of the political machinations at play, we've now on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welch, the Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Doc, now, what do you think was the deciding factor for the government to reconvene Parliament on the 26th of July?
Good morning. I think there were two factors at work, the first of which was increasing public pressure in the sense that there has been a serious drop of support for Muhyiddin's government, and I think they recognize that they need to have some sort of valve to allow that, and opening Parliament was an easy solution to sort of try to show that they're actually listening. I think the second issue, of course, is that we've had serious pressure from the King and the royalty more generally. There have been three calls to open up the Parliament. And given that this government relies heavily on legitimacy from Malay institutions, it had to respond. And I think that they've done so.
So the duration of the sitting and the agenda, though, is quite limited. I mean, they have 5 days to discuss a very limited agenda. How extensive can we expect the parliamentary debates to be? And given that there will probably be SOPs in place as well, which could restrict the timing, how long Parliament can sit, etc.
Yes, I think this is a pretty serious issue. We have a situation, Malaysia generally doesn't have many parliamentary days. So last year, for example, there were only 55 days of parliament. And I think that we have a situation where 5 days is a very small amount, first of which will probably be allocated to the King's speech. Sometimes these conversations can go on for multiple days. And I think that the government is going to do very, try to control the agenda, showcase what they have done, and to sort of also showcase that the opposition is basically picking pot shots, being disruptive, so therefore they are the best alternative. So we're going to really see a show and a control show at that. I don't expect limited substantive debate. I think at this particular juncture, because the opposition seems to be focused on trying to get into power as opposed to sort of laying out alternative plans. That said, I think the government goes into this parliamentary session on the defensive, and I think as a consequence, they're going to try very hard to try to paint themselves in a positive light. And I think in this context, I think they're also going to have limited traction.
So, Bridget, at the end of the day, I mean, what do you think will happen at Parliament? Will we even see something like a motion of no confidence being tabled against the Prime Minister then?
Well, I think that the situation in Parliament, they're going to do everything to control it and control the timing, control who speaks, especially given the fact that there might be some hybrid dimensions of it in terms of they want to pass a bill to allow a hybrid dimension to happen. But I think what's going to happen in the next few days before Parliament opens is actually important to see whether or not there's going to be a no confidence or a confidence measure that's there. We're in a situation now where what I call is the Ides of July, where we have intensive deal making taking place. Some of that's in Jalan Bellamy, some of it's in Jalan Perwira, and we have sort of fundamental issues that are being that are underground on these, and these include, I would say, four of them. First of which is the Prime Minister's health. You know, we saw his picture yesterday. He shows that he's trying to show that he's in charge, but he's clearly a man who's not well. And I think this is something that is worrying because it's not clear who's in charge while he's in hospital. And his health is an issue, especially given the fact that his popularity has dropped precipitously in the last month or two because of the lockdowns, because of COVID and so forth. I think the other issue is dynamics in UMNO. We saw yesterday that they have not clearly set a date for the Supreme Council meeting. We have a split party and split ministers and so forth. And of course, this in turn also affects the type of deals that are being played and being organized. The other factor will be whether or not leaders can compromise among themselves on who can be leader. One of the issues that is a stumbling block for Pakatan Harapan is that Anwar is clearly seeing this as one of his last chances, so he's not stepping aside for any other alternative. So this in turn makes it more challenging. The question is, will different parties accept a secondary position as opposed to a first position? These are issues of compromise. And of course, finally, ultimately, all of this is determined and shaped by what the king decides as well.
These
I think, are very important.
Well, this is unfortunate, Dr. Welsh, because what Malaysians want more than anything else is policy and direction and clarity. Do you think it's too much of a pipe dream to expect that at this sitting?
I think there will be some discussions. I think that if the opposition starts to lay out an alternative plan and issues that talk about what can be done and does it in a systematic manner, as opposed to being seen as a kind of taking pot shots and destabilizing, I think that you can actually move the discussion to something more substantive.
And let's take a look at UMNO, Bridget. There are rumblings of an UMNO mutiny, but this isn't the first time that UMNO has signaled its intention to withdraw support from the Prime Minister. I mean, is this occasion different from the previous feints? And are we going to see UMNO further splinter between those who want to stay with Perikatan Nasional and those who want to leave?
It's very clear that UMNO is very split. I think at the macro level, we can see a faction that favors PN and a faction that is against it. We see these issues being discussed in the news in terms of who would stay with who and so forth. I see that the situation is a bit more complicated in this macro split because there are different issues within who should be the leadership within the party, or what's the relationship with Anwar, what's the relationship with DAP. So I think we see a whole series of issues that are taking place. Now, essentially, what makes it further complicated is also people within UMNO are looking at post-Zahid, and people also are looking past issues of post-Momuyadid. So what we see is this kind of these tensions. And right now, there are people who are focused who want to stay with the incumbent because they have, it allows them access to resources now. And then there are others that are concerned that because Zahid controls the party machinery, that they're concerned about what it means down the line for them in terms of whether or not they'll be allowed to contest. Many of those who are tied to PN know that they need the party machinery for their own political future. So is this different than before? I think there are some differences. There's much higher criticism of PN. And I think that UMNO sticking with the government is something that actually its grassroots feel very angry about because they're actually, many of them are hurting. It's also a situation where Muhyiddin is particularly weak. And I think this is something gives opportunities, but at the same time, it also creates a situation where it's weaker dynamic and potentially opportunities for moving up or changing leadership. And also, we see a situation where leadership is coming to legal cases are coming to the head in terms of particularly Zahid's cases. But are these differences substantive to address some of the splits? Not so much when we see those splits playing out in the media.
So can the PN government actually survive if UMNO withdraws support? I mean, what are the potential scenarios here?
So essentially, I see four scenarios. Right? One scenario is what I call an internal PN replacement of leadership. This is where Muhyiddin Yassin steps back and someone takes up. These are the issues that are being talked about in Jalami, for example, Hisham emerging or others. This is essentially the PN coalition stays intact in these parties, and there's a new leadership from within that could or could not be someone from UMNO. Most likely, it would come from UMNO as a way of compromising to keep UMNO in the tent. But this, of course, has problems because that person may not have the support of other parts of UMNO. A second scenario is Muhyiddin Yassin stays, but it becomes a continued weak government. But it may even emerge to become a minority government that is allowed because there are no other alternatives. A third situation is a replacement, where this is where Anwar gets support. He needs from Zahid's numbers, and they're able, well, there's splits, that they're able, the party, UMNO splits, but there is a sense that there is a new configuration, and that, of course, that configuration is seen as a kind of going back to a PH dynamic, where they are in the leadership position, but UMNO, our parts of UMNO support that in that particular way. And the fourth scenario is a kind of new leadership, a new government altogether. And this is a kind of, either could be a crisis leadership where a senior statesman like Tunku Razali is brought in, or there could be a new compromise figure that is brought in. And this may include different types of alliances. And I think in looking at these scenarios, it's important to look at two things, three things. First, of course, leadership, which is kind of a crucial issue, but also the who is in the alliance? What is the composition? Is DAP in it? Is it not? Is PAS in it? Is it not? These are two of the key parties, and of course, PKR. Keep in mind that Pakatan Harapan may strategically split in those circumstances. The other dynamic is what type of relationship. So you can be in government, but you could also just support the government through a CSA bill. So the level of participation will also be important. All of these issues are being discussed by different parties in the deal making that's taking place. But people are trying to find solutions. But of course, this is very much at the elite level, not focused on the policies as was discussed earlier.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, the Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham. Now, obviously, nothing but storm clouds ahead and nothing but a lack of clarity by the sound of it.
I'd be curious to know which scenario Bridget thinks is most likely to happen. She painted four different scenarios, and you know, it's kind of a toss-up in terms of what we could see next.
I don't think anybody really knows, right?
Anybody
because
really
the deal-making is still going on, and like she reminded us, it's happening at the elite level, not at the rakyat level at all.
I don't think Muhyiddin himself knows, right? Nor does Hisham, nor does anybody else.
It's such a fluid moment in time.
It's like a bowl of mercury, isn't it? Just swishing back and forth, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.